But that's exactly what we offer you. Good morning. You've got more than money. You've got Gene Dickinson, your host, your personal financial advisor, giving you explanations galore this Saturday morning. We are semi-live. It is May the 12th, where you are. Through the miracles of modern technology, I'm actually in two places at once this morning. I'm with you this morning. I'm in Annville. I'm at Lebanon Valley College, attending the graduation of my middle daughter, Alyssa. Man, are we proud. It's just crazy. It's crazy. How can 4 years have gone by so very quickly? And before you start tossing it in of 4 years, that's crazy. It's not just because I'm getting that old. It's my daughter has announced at age 22 that the 4 years went by literally in a blink. And we are very, very proud of her graduating with an ACS degree in chemistry. Oof. Heading off to Penn State for graduate work. And we're so, so very proud of her right about now. She'll be getting ready. And about the time the show ends is when she'll be walking across the stage. So if you'll think good thoughts, kind thoughts, warm thoughts, say a prayer or two, that would be greatly appreciated. We say prayers, Diane and I, every day of thanks, gratitude to God for giving us such wonderful daughters. We are very, very, very blessed. Alyssa is remarkable in so many ways, as all the girls are, but this is a very special day for her. So my good friend John Elliott's helping us out, taking some time off from his day to make sure that we get a reasonably good show put together. Reasonably good show. Let's not set the bar too high. So if you are a loyal listener, there's a couple little changes that you'll notice. Number one, we're not taking calls today, but we are taking emails, particularly early in the show. I'll be able to check emails because, trust me, at this point, getting ready for her graduation, I am worthless. I am nothing more than an annoyance, as her mom and her sister and her friends are all, I'm certain, attending to those last-minute details. So you'll be doing me a grand favor if you shoot me an email, gene@askmtm.com. You can also log on to our website and share our show and access to yours truly through our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. And you can hit the Listen Live button. You can hit the Ask Gene button, and you are fully engaged in the entire show experience. Ooh, pretty cool stuff. Because remember, you're not part of our show. You're the very heart of our show. Everything that I'll be sharing with you this morning comes to me from you. Questions that you've asked, emails that you've sent, conversations that I've participated in with you. And again, we try to offer as much detailed information that you are searching for as we possibly can. So we welcome you. If you're joining us for the very first time, I think you'll find More Than Money has a lot to offer you. It puts you right where you should be, number one on the list. Unlike so many shows on radio today that are simply pushing product. If you don't have their annuity, their whatever, you simply don't know what you're doing. Well, that's silliness. That's just ridiculous. It's the rough equivalent of having an entire radio show devoted to penicillin. Everyone must have penicillin. No. As a matter of fact, for some folks, penicillin is deadly. So there isn't a drug that's correct for everyone. There isn't a financial idea that's correct for everyone. And so we've put you at the heart of our at our show in totality. So if you have again joined us for the very first time, we cover all manner of financial questions that affect our friends and our listeners and our More Than Money family, whether they be investments or retirement, whether they be income taxes or 401ks, whether they be estate planning or long-term care, whether they be starting a business or running a business or selling a business. That's what we cover. That's what we cover. And we're happy to do all of that. And I say we because we are a full-fledged team. We have I'm so very proud to say that we have quite an impressive team, not just of advisors, but our entire team, whether they be full-time and in our office on a Monday through Friday basis, or whether they are advisors to us, our Social Security advisors, our insurance advisors, our legal advisors. We count on all of them because no one person could possibly know all that they should know, all they need to know to give you every single answer that you deserve, every single correct answer that you deserve. Yes, I get it. There are some folks out there who lay claim to that. I absolutely understand, but they would be wrong. I would still be right. That's the way that works. So as we go through the show today, send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, or go on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and hit the Listen Live button and hit the Ask Gene button. I'm happy to respond to you. And if I do get pinched, probably holding straight pins, or, hey, can you go to the Wawa and get us? If I get pinched, we'll get back to you ASAP. Church League softball has started this week, finally, after being rained out 27 times in a row. We were undefeated right up to the point where we played our first game. Rainouts were our closest friend for the very longest time. Great fun, and we've got a great group of wonderful folks who are playing this year. We hope to expand that as the season goes on. Quite often, sadly, because of scheduling, folks. I say scheduling and or injuries, because that they happen too. Where the first couple games we get 17, 18, 19 people to show up. I guarantee you by middle of the season, 9, 10. We need 10. 9 will show up. Whew. It's great fun. And again, some prayers of protection. We start every game with a prayer, and it is inevitable that whoever's praying, if they played more than one or two games, they manage to slip in the prayers to good Lord, please protect everybody, both teams. Keep everybody safe. It's a bit of housekeeping. We've had a couple of folks comment that they had sent materials to us at the radio station. We don't receive materials at the radio station, or inquiries or letters or information. So please send those to our office, and you can get that address on our website, morethanmoneyonline.com. And again, if you have sent something to the radio station in the past and kind of scratched your head as to why we didn't respond, it's because we don't get mail at the radio station. It's that simple. So please go online, and again, we're happy to help. Gene@askmtm.com, morethanmoneyonline.com. Gentleman writes, my mom's estate was about $200,000. It was settled about a year ago. I received bids from two different attorneys after the first one could not give us a fixed cost. Huh. Now there's a head scratcher. First attorney could not give us a solid number on my mom's simple and basic estate. We got a final number of $2,500 from the second attorney. After the first attorney learned we had received a bid elsewhere, they decided to match the price of the second attorney. We went with the first one because we already had invested time and effort in starting the proceedings. Everything finished up in a little over a year. Moral to the story, get bids on probate costs and get a final number. Very good advice. Very good advice. A couple things that a lot of you out there listening should note. Fixed price, not variable, not hourly. Some folks are currently recommending that you seek out estate planning attorneys that will settle estates on an hourly basis. I tend to like that. The only downside to that is if someone is truly looking to maximize his or her revenue as an attorney, insisting on an hourly rate doesn't protect you. It doesn't protect you at all. And insisting on an itemized bill doesn't protect you at all, because they can create an itemized bill that looks quite complicated. And you might very well feel that it just justifies their fee, when in reality, if someone in the profession were to review it, they could explain to you that it wasn't complicated at all. This gentleman notes that his mom's estate was both simple and basic. One thing jumps out at me. I'm impressed about getting a solid fixed number. I think that makes a lot of sense. It was roughly 1% of the estate. I don't think that's out of line. My concern is that it finished up in a little over a year. Huh. If it were simple and basic, should have finished up in 3 months. Now, if the 9-month delay caused this individual no particular heartache, no particular inconvenience, no harm, no foul. But the reality is, a simple and basic estate, simple and basic are typically situations where maybe there was a home, maybe there's bank accounts, maybe there's IRAs, maybe there's annuities, maybe there's life insurance. Very straightforward items, very, very straightforward items. Well, those kinds of things can be transferred in relatively short order. Life insurance, annuities, IRAs, bank accounts, etc. Less than a month. If there were a home involved, that's a different story. That may have taken a little bit of time to get the appraisal done and to get it on the market and get it sold and settled, etc. But from where I sit, a year's too long. We have seen simple, basic estates settled more often by tax professionals rather than estate attorneys, but more often by tax professionals very quickly indeed. 3-4 months on the outside, we've seen estates simple and basic settled in 6 weeks or less, including all the tax filings, including everything that needs to be addressed, whether it's probate or transfers and income tax returns, etc. So it does make me scratch my head. However, very useful if you are ever in that position. We recently spoke to a young lady who is the executor of her mother's estate. And of course, she's never done that before. And very few of us have ever been executors multiple times in our lifetime. So if you're not 100% sure what you should be doing, that makes sense. You've never done it before. And you're relying on someone else's expertise, and sometimes their agenda conflicts with yours. Your agenda is, let's get this done as quickly as we can for the least cost possible. Their agenda is different. Fill in the blanks. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. If you're just joining us, it is More Than Money. We're broadcasting May the 12th. We recorded this show a couple days earlier, but it is May the 12th as far as you're concerned. And our entire family and extended family will be, as you're listening here, will be in Annville at Lebanon Valley College attending our daughter Alyssa's graduation. So we hope that you'll enjoy this show as we're enjoying our activity as well. Send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, and log on morethanmoneyonline.com. If I've got it right, we've got 7-8 minutes. Ah, very good. One of the things that comes up quite often, particularly with my younger clients, is the objective, the goal, the hope, the aspiration, the dream, perhaps, that someday they become a millionaire. Lots of folks would like you to believe that, oh, it's no big deal. Back in the turn of the 20th century, if you were in the early 1900s and you became a millionaire, that was real money. Million today is not that much. Really? It's not that much. Why are so few people millionaires? It's a fair sum of money. It is a significant and substantial sum of money. Now, I find myself embarrassed by some of my colleagues in the financial advisory world who think themselves so important that they won't even talk to a prospective client if they only have $1 million. Well, shame on them. Poo-poo, how impressive are you? The reality is that, in my opinion, in my humble opinion, okay, I couldn't keep a straight face on the word humble. Come on. In my humble opinion, far more important to be caring for lives of folks who appreciate the work and have a good, solid, long-term relationship with their advisor than the amount of money. But I digress. The question is, can you put together $1 million? And the answer for lots of folks is that it's far simpler than it might first appear. A lot of folks are of the opinion that the only way to $1 million is with a scratch and sniff lottery ticket. That's some folks are of that opinion. Some folks are of the opinion that they have to get lucky and have a that sounds rude as I'm thinking through it. They have to get lucky and have someone die and leave them an inheritance, or they have to discover something just quite by accident, or invent something quite by accident. All of those things, in some cases, work. Mostly not, but in some cases they work. But if you wanted a reasonably assured, by no means guaranteed, but reasonably assured process, could you save your way to $1 million? The answer is yes. Now, to be fair, the real key is compounding. The real key is the ability to put money away and then not be pulling it up and dragging it out and spending it along the way. And while that is a absolute fact of life, that compounding is just nearly miraculous. That is an absolute fact of life. It is also nearly miraculous when we find people who are willing to do it. One of the reasons why the 401k plan became such an incredibly popular and powerful tool was it allowed people, it almost forced people to put money into an investment on a very regular basis and allow it to cook. And cook for years and years and years. Because to be perfectly blunt, getting money out was so painful that they just felt best to leave it there. And they were absolutely correct. So I thought I'd give you some numbers this morning. Borrowing from the thought process, that is, how much would I have to tuck away each month to become a millionaire? We've kind of played with some numbers. Now, I confess I'm using a compound rate of return 8%. That's aggressive. That's very aggressive. Is there any way that I could guarantee you 8% return year in and year out? No, absolutely not. But lots of folks would cite the academic studies that say that the stock market has averaged 10% a year over many, many years. And in reality, they would be wrong about that. Because the stock market has averaged 10%, but pieces of the stock market have averaged far more and far less. So using 8% is not intended to give you assurance, guarantee, confidence. It's intended to give you a demonstration. So if you are 25, 35, 45, or 55, could you become a millionaire at age 65? The answer is yes. If you start at 25 with no money, you need to save $310 a month, $3,600, $3,700 a year, $1 million at age 65. If you are 35, at that point, we expect you have saved something, in this case, $45,000. You need to save $400 a month. If you're 45 and you've saved a relatively modest amount, $63,000, you need to save $1,250 a month. And if you are 55 and you've saved, again, relatively modest amount, $117, and your goal is to become a millionaire, are you sitting down? or are you driving a bread truck? Thank you, Bobby Gunther Walsh. $4,200 a month, $50,000 a year. So what's the real key? If you're 55, pray that you become 25 again. That's, if we can combine the good sense of a 55-year-old with the youth of a 25-year-old, here's the real key. If you are 25 and you are fortunate enough that perhaps through gifts, maybe graduation gifts, or perhaps you've earned some money along the way, if you've got a relatively small savings, $16,000, all you need to save per month for the rest of your life until age 65 to become a millionaire, $210. Is that doable? Well, heck yes now. Folks, yes, become a millionaire. It should be great fun. That is the voice of an angel. That's Natalie Merchant saying we got to take a break. John and I will chit-chat about Name That Tune. Yeah, not sure about that. Not sure how we're going to do that at all. But you are listening to More Than Money. You're listening to Gene Dickinson. And because we are pre-recorded today, we're not taking your calls, but we are taking your emails. Send me an email at gene@askmtm.com or log on to our website, morethanmoneyonline.com, and we'll respond to you ASAP. And we'll be back on More Than Money right after this. Welcome to More Than Money, where you find explanations every Saturday morning, and this Saturday is no exception. It is May the 12th. You're enjoying a wonderful spring morning, I am certain, as I and my family are as well. Through the miracles of modern technology, I am two places at once. I'm speaking to you this morning and sharing as many good ideas as I possibly can, and I'm also attending my daughter Alyssa's graduation from Lebanon Valley College. We're very, very proud. So please enjoy the show. And if you have questions or if you have comments or if you just want to send a nice message of prayer, that's very welcome. Just send me an email, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com. And I'm sure that, let's see, it's about 8:35. So we're, yeah, I'm still worthless. I have no value in this process. Until we get to graduation, and we're very excited. We're very, very proud. We are blessed beyond belief. God has blessed us with three wonderful daughters, and now a wonderful son-in-law. So our family grows. So you're if you're a loyal listener for any length of time to More Than Money, you've kind of followed that. You often will remind me that you know a great deal about our girls as well, and that means the world to us. John reminded me that not only is this an important day, tomorrow's an important day. It's Sunday. So there. No, kid, come on. Mother's Day, if you forgot. Here's a tip. Buying the woman in your life who's the most important, your mom, if you're like going, I'm panicked, I forgot something, do not go to CVS. That's not the place to buy your mom a touching emotional gift. No knock on CVS. They've got, you know, lots of crunchy stuff to eat, but that's not the way to go. Gene@askmtm.com. Share our show coast to coast with anyone that you care about, anyone that's important to you. Have them log on to morethanmoneyonline.com, and they can join us as well. Situation with one of our More Than Money family members. They have been caring for an aunt for quite some time, and sadly she has passed away. And the question is one about settling her estate. She had no car. She had no property. She had a very, very tiny amount in a checking account. And the question is it complicated? Is this going to be wiped out simply with probate costs, et cetera? And the answer is fortunately no. Very little And certainly nothing complicated needs to be done to settle this estate. I would recommend sitting with a tax professional in this case, because they're part of our More Than Money family. They already have a tax professional that they trust, and they will be speaking to Diane. But if you are in this circumstance, if you find yourself settling the estate for someone who has passed with very little in the way of assets, please, please, please make sure that you don't get caught in some sort of what's the polite word? Misguided situation where you end up giving over all of the money to someone who claims that that's how much it's going to cost. The answer is there is no fixed cost for probate. There are some fixed costs, relatively small, but certainly no fixed legal or accounting costs. So if you, again, are finding yourself in this situation, my recommendation is you sit with a tax professional first and see where that takes you. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. A young lady writes, my mother passed away in January of this year. I have five brothers and sisters. She had, mom had four annuities, two of which had been, had reached their maturity date. The beneficiaries listed are the executors of the will, one brother and one sister. My sister has resigned, leaving my brother as the executor. States that everything will be liquidated, divide equally among all siblings. How does my brother avoid being pushed into the next income tax bracket and having to pay more income taxes? Well, for the education of everyone listening, annuities can absolutely be distributed by beneficiary. That is a requirement when you set up an annuity. They require that you name a beneficiary. In this particular case, for whatever reason, I scratch my head, but for whatever reason, the beneficiaries were set up to be paid into the estate. So there are no more options for the beneficiary. So these six children have no options of how they might handle the income tax situation. And where's the income tax situation come in? Let's use very simple numbers. It's Saturday morning. We don't want to give Gene a headache. Very simple numbers. Sure it is. As far as they know, come on, it's Saturday morning. It's not Wednesday afternoon. Come on. Very simple numbers. Your mom invested $100,000 and the annuities are now worth $200,000. Very simple numbers. The money that has been gained under the umbrella of the annuities, that $100,000 of profit, no one has yet paid income tax on that. So let's make the numbers even easier for Jean. She invested $100,000. It's now worth $220,000. So there's $120,000 of profit that is going to be, no ifs, ands, or buts, distributed to the six children. So each child is going to have $20,000 additional income taxable, reportable income on their tax return. That might have been avoided. I say might because it's not a surety, but it would certainly have been an opportunity. If the beneficiaries on the annuities had been set up as the six children to share it equally, then your brother may have had some opportunity to continue his share of the annuity or roll his share of the annuity into his own annuity. But in this particular case, I'm sad to report that your brother has very little alternative other than to report the taxable income. Now, I've been using numbers that are pretty substantial, $20,000. That won't necessarily push him into a higher income, but it might. Higher income tax bracket, but it might. But he might actually stay in the exact same bracket. So there's no way to know until we know what the taxable income dollar amount is and what his taxable income is and where the next income tax bracket starts. So quite often folks look at the income tax bracket as the boogeyman. I made $100 extra. It's going to push me into a higher bracket. Not likely. And even if it does, it's not like the next highest bracket is you owe us all the money. You made an extra $100, give it to us. No. And in 2018, the brackets are actually a touch lower than they were in 2017 through the Tax Reform Act that President Trump was able to put through the Congress. So don't step out on the ledge. Goodness gracious. Get some numbers first. Get some numbers first. And if the numbers are quite modest, you may even find that there's no taxable income at all. If your mother had these annuities and she had withdrawn a fair amount of money, they may actually be under what she originally invested. There may be no taxable income at all. I would certainly start, if you're unsure, start with a tax professional, enrolled agent, certified enrolled agent, or CPA, and let them look at the numbers. Pretty simple stuff, 15, 20 minutes, you'll have a good answer. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. We're not taking calls today, as the show's been pre-recorded for your listening enjoyment. Sorry, that sounded like a late night, easy listening FM station. Oh, please. Now, normally in this segment, we have some fun with Name That Tune. Normally. Of course, John and I are looking at each other, and as soon as I said the word normal, we're both going, where? What? not in this studio. But we can't do that because we're not taking calls today, so we decided that we're going to, John's going to play a snippet. I'm going to try to guess.
Like Stump the Band?
We're very much like Stump the Band, only I have no musical talent whatsoever. John's quite a talented musician in his day. I was quite a talented musician. Never, ever. Oh, you know you're a bad singer where somebody, when you're singing a hymn in church and there's a lady behind you, taps you on the shoulder and goes, shh, shh. No, put the hymnal down. That's just a joke. That never happened. Not to me. Oh, my goodness. All right, so... Are you going to give me any hints or
no hints?
All right. So go ahead. Give it your worst. See, now normally I'd be whining and complaining. I would be saying that's not fair. We always give like 10 seconds. That's all. You know what? I think I know that song. I think it's Celebrate by Three Dog Night.
Slipping away.
Oh.
Sitting on a pillow.
Ooh. Ah. Some days I just shock myself. And I assure you there was absolutely no cheating involved here. As far as you know. What a great piece of music. Celebrate. It's a great piece of music, and it's great on a day like today where we're celebrating graduation. It's great for tomorrow where you celebrate your mom and Three Dog Night, who bridged the 60s into the 70s and embarrassed themselves as the 70s progressed with big hair and platform shoes and polyester. But they're great music, great piece of music, And for everybody celebrating whatever you can celebrate, celebrate everything. In our office, we have we get everybody together for lunch for all birthdays. If somebody passes an exam, we do that. If somebody passes our office in a car, we get together. We celebrate. We have great time. We're very, very blessed. Gene at AskMTM.com, MoreThanMoneyOnline.com. Let me look, make sure. Yeah, I think I have plenty of time. One of the most common questions that we get is also one of the most complex questions, unless you know the system. It's like anything else. If you know the system, you know the steps to a system. John handles the engineering here perfectly. If I walk behind there, this is a bad idea because I'm certain it's not that I couldn't learn the system. It's not that John couldn't teach me the system. I simply don't know it. I flat out don't know it. John knows it by heart. You could wake him up 3 o'clock in the morning. He could run the board. And most Saturdays, that's about what happens. It's very early in the morning. He's got to be in here early for Bobby Gunther Walsh. So if you know the steps to a system, all of a sudden you go, well, gosh, there's no real magic to that. And that's true. There isn't. And the question that we get that seemingly is very, very difficult is how should we invest our life savings in retirement? Well, goodness, there are literally tens of thousands of different investments. Mutual funds alone, 30,000. Exchange traded funds, maybe 10,000 listed stock exchange listed stocks. Tens of thousands, perhaps hundreds of thousands of bonds. Annuities, variable annuities, fixed annuities, fixed index annuities. It's mind-boggling. It's mind-boggling. And if you start with how do we invest money, I'm not very optimistic that you get a decent answer. If, on the other hand, you start where you should, which is what do you need for your life savings to do for you, then when we get to how do we invest the money, it becomes remarkably logical. I'll give you a couple of examples. One of the very first questions I will ask anyone who comes in for a retirement evaluation, and we do these all the time in our More Than Money World headquarters, in the Holy Lands between Bethlehem and Nazareth, we do it all the time. Some folks call them second opinion meetings. Some of them call them retirement evaluation meetings, retirement prep meetings. Some of our prospective clients call it, can I please retire meetings? It's just terrified. Let's find out if I can retire. It is often remarkable to the folks with whom we meet when they see how very straightforward the system is. And the question normally that we start with, that I'll be very, very blunt, 90% of the folks to whom we ask this question, they go, ooh, I don't really know. So 90%. The question is, how much income do you need every month, regular as clockwork, so that your bills are paid and you're happy and healthy? Pretty straightforward question. But again, fully 90% of the folks that we ask, I don't know. Now, the fact is that they do, or at least they can get close. If somebody comes in and they are currently earning two wage earners and they're currently earning $8,000 a month, are they spending $20,000? Not likely. Are they spending $1,000? Also not likely. Now, I realize that's a pretty broad range, but most folks, even if they've never or it's been years and years and years since they had a budget, it's been years and years and years since they've kind of tracked what they spend, they've got a sense. Somebody in the family, typically, it could be husband or wife, either spouse, could be taking charge of the bulk of the check writing process. So somebody has a rough idea. Hey, we make $8,000. Do you spend $8,000? No. First of all, we don't even get $8,000. We make 8,000, but by the time Uncle Sam's done, state of Pennsylvania's done, the local taxing is done, no, we don't get 8,000. We might get 6. Do you spend 6? No, we don't spend 6. Well, how do you know that? Well, we're in 401k plans, and we're each putting $1,000 a month in a 401k plan. All right, so even though we don't know for a fact, we've already gone from 8,000 to 4. And that's not the right number. That's not the point. And by the way, for the 90% who legitimately are going, I'm not sure. That's their first piece of homework. You've got to get a number that you're confident in. You don't. You absolutely don't. Now, some financial advisors insist on this. They give their clients a spreadsheet, a checklist. It might be 3, 4, 5 pages long. It starts with rent or mortgage. It adds in real estate taxes, insurance, food, clothing, vacation. It goes on and on and on. And they fully expect that their prospective clients are going to fill this out in detail. I say poo-poo to that. Poo-poo to that. I am totally uninterested in whether you're spending $22 a week eating at Wendy's or whether you're spending $22 a week getting a haircut. It doesn't matter to me. What I care about, what do you need to spend? Listen carefully to the question to be have all your bills paid and be happy and healthy. Doesn't say anything there about being crazy. Yeah, well, you know, in retirement, I'm gonna sail around the world and I'm gonna have a private jet. Really, you're gonna have to check your medications because you're winging it. Bottom line is that once we know what you need, the next step in the system, very logical. What do we already have coming through the door on a monthly basis? I apologize. It's a rude reference, but it's what we call hell or high water money, money that's going to be direct deposited to your account, whether the stock market is up or down, whether the interest rates are up or down. Good examples would be Social Security. Good example would be a corporate pension. A good example might be if you've activated an annuity. You might have outside sources of income. You might have you're holding a mortgage. People are paying you a mortgage. Perhaps you sold a business and you're being paid monthly. There are a lot of types of income that come in on a regular basis that we can count on. And so we start with a number. We'll continue with our example. We have $4,000 a month. And now we subtract the money that's going to come in, kind of come hell or high water, not dependent on your investments. And let's just say for the sake of our demonstration that the Social Security, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, is $3,000 a month. So what must our investments produce each month so that our bills are paid and we're happy and healthy? It's $1,000 a month, $12,000 a year. So that's step two. Step three is how much do we have to work with? What's our working capital? What's how big is the golden goose? And let's give you two very, very different examples. Let's say the golden goose is $100,000 and you need to spend $12,000. You need a 12% return per year, in order to pay your bills, be happy and healthy. As you're listening to that, what's your first reaction? You can't retire. You've got to rethink retirement. Because a 12% return year in and year out simply isn't something that you can confidently count on. On the other hand, let's say you have $1 million saved. Your golden goose is quite large and you need $12,000 a year, which turns out to be 1.2%. Wow. You could, whether you would wish to or not, very different question, but you could look for some 2-year CDs at 2.7. Spend 1.2 and you'd still be ahead of the game. Now, whether you're meeting inflation, that's a different question. There's a lot of questions around where you actually wish to be. But could you be incredibly conservative and still pay all your bills, be happy and healthy? The answer is sure. And now, as we get to the final step, which is how do we invest our money, you might very well say, well, that makes it easy. I'll just do everything that has no risk. I can do fixed annuities at 3%. I can do CDs. I can do high-grade corporate bonds. I can do lots of stuff very, very conservatively. And you have simply eliminated the 95% of the craziness out there in the investment world that has tremendous ups and downs, and you can sleep like a baby. If, on the other hand, you've decided that at $100,000 saved, you're going to spend $12,000 a year, you have no choice. You have to invest in the most aggressive things that you can possibly find. I think it's a really bad idea. And to be fair, most folks find themselves somewhere in the middle. They are not silly. They're not trying to retire on next to nothing and get 12% or 15% or 20% returns. Now, on occasion, we will do a second opinion meeting, and folks have been counseled by other advisors that they can absolutely count on getting 8 or 10 or 12% returns. And I'm here to tell you that that's a very sad and misleading bit of guidance that they're getting. But on the other hand, let's say you're in the middle. Let's say that you need $12,000 and you've got $500,000 that you have saved. $12,000 based on $500,000 is what? A little over 2.5% return. And now we're looking at a nice balanced investment portfolio, something approaching half of it in stocks, something approximating half of it in bonds and cash, and something quite conservative. A very, very good way to start. Very, very good way to kind of set the parameters of what we need to examine. Folks who find out after going through the initial screening with one of our More Than Money advisors that the amount of money they saved fits nicely, that between their Social Security and perhaps a pension and their savings, that retirement is absolutely doable, you want to talk about smiles on people's faces. It is a lovely, wonderful, wonderful thing to be able to participate in. And put that kind of smile on somebody's face. It is just a blast. It is simply wonderful. You may be in that very same circumstance where once the analysis is done, it becomes quite obvious that you can do it quite easily or not. That's a different set of circumstances. And maybe the smile is turned upside down. That becomes a frown. And we got to put some more work into this. That's the way that is. Or perhaps it means part-time work. Perhaps you can go part-time and semi-retire kind of a thing. Lots of folks do it, and lots of folks find it to be very, very stimulating, fun. If you go from 5-6 days a week down to 2 or 3, it's like every week you get a 4 or 5 day weekend. That's a pretty lovely thing, and yet you don't have to have the gun to your head, so to speak, and make poor investment choices. We're coming to the top of the hour. That's Fox Network News, so we've got to make sure that we exit in good order so that Fox Network News gets all the time that they need to give you the information you need to have a great weekend. It is a great weekend. Graduations across this great country, many, many colleges doing graduations, including Lebanon Valley, and congratulations to our daughter, Alyssa, who graduates this morning. And Mother's Day tomorrow. So congratulations to all the mothers. That's a beautiful thing indeed. And I send my my wishes to Mama in heaven. God bless you, Mom. Thanks. So since we're pre-recorded, if you've got an email for me, the question, a concern, gene@askmtm.com, gene@askmtm.com, or go online, morethanmoneyonline.com, listen live and ask questions there as well. Stick with us. We'll be back after this on More Than Money. I'm
thank you for